Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We're the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert, evaluation. The word association. We heard the implication. Dessert, evaluation. We're the word association.
Your Honor, my client here, though he may seem an innocent man, my client here does not enjoy Four Non Blondes. So, as you know, they are a musical group of three women who sing like angels and are non blondes. I know I should be defending my client, but Your Honor.
Your Honor, objection, Your Honor. I feel like you could have just called yourselves the brunettes. Or the redheads.
Give me a moment in this courtroom now. They are not on trial.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome.
And may I add, it seems insane to list off of different types to say one brunette, one redhead, and one dirty blonde when four non-blondes covers the bases.
Well, I'll allow that.
Your Honor, we know why we're here today. What's going on? We know. We know what's going on. What's going on is they wrote a song. They knew what was going on. They wrote a song.
Your Honor, objection. This sucks. Fuck him. Your Honor, fuck him.
Well,
no, Your Honor. Sustained.
Did you call me a shit stain?
No, Your Honor, please.
Out of order.
Please, Your Honor.
Now, y'all know the rules. You can say shit 4 times in my courtroom before I get angry.
Shit.
Okay, that's it.
Suck my verdict.
Whoa.
I'll allow it. I'll do wordplay. I appreciate wordplay.
Your Honor, if it pleases the court, pizza party. Whee!
Why, pizza party would please the court.
But Your Honor, I feel like we got real off track real quick, Your Honor. And, you know, I have a witness I would like to call to, I brought in Tony the Barber, and I have just a couple of questions to ask him about hair and can you be non-blonde?
Well, all right. Bring him in.
Tony.
I think the bailiff will get him. You don't have to yell his name in a weird way. The bailiff will get him.
Your Honor, I agree. That was weird. It wasn't even a yell. It was more. he was straining his voice.
He comes to a certain call. You don't know about these boys down here.
Go ahead and put your hand on the menu for Cracker Barrel and repeat after me. I solemnly swear. To do the whole truth. And never do. I now pronounce you fit to take the stand.
Amen.
Thank you, bailiff. Tony, you barber, right? You cut the hair.
6 days a week, 8 hours a day.
So if someone came into you and they said they wanted to be a non-blonde, What would you say to them?
Well, honestly, I'm going to need more specifics.
Yana, arrest my case.
Did you hear him? Arrest his case.
No, I said arrest my case.
Now, hold on. Arrest. I appreciate wordplay. I do. We've established that precedent. I do appreciate wordplay.
And, Your Honor, so do I.
Okay.
So,
Sorry, so do I. My name is Adil Rafai. I'm here in the back observing for Joy.
Hi, yes, I'm Brett Lyons. I'm the stenographer, and if you need me to read anything back, I got it.
And I am juror number two, Rob White.
And we are actually collectively the Word Association, and all of this is being recorded for a podcast, Your Honor. I hope that's okay with the court.
It pleases the court.
Yeah.
God.
More courts should appreciate wordplay.
I agree.
I think lawyers should be more akin to stand-ups, where they're doing crowd work. They're like, they call out people. They're like on the jury. They're like, look at this idiot. Like, look at this motherfucker.
Oh, it'd be great if the lawyer got to roast the jury.
Yes.
Before they got to do the thing. Really? I mean, maybe it would just really bring them down to earth, you know?
Yeah, I think it'd be more fun.
Yeah, lead to the collapse of our legal system, but it would be entertaining TV. So if you could just, instead of cross-examination, you just get to roast the witness.
Yeah, I think it's time for a change. I think our legal system is not the stable system.
It could use a shake.
Yeah, absolutely. A lemon shakeup. Boy, oh boy, welcome to the Word Association. We're so excited to have you here. Pull up a seat. You're not on trial. Why don't we start off? I'm going to get to my word in just a minute here, but to lead into it, I think I'm going to go ahead and let me rip this open. Okay, I got some emails here inside my laptop.
Wait, you got emails in the laptop?
Yeah, just rip that open, blow that open.
Wait, you ripped open your
computer? I think you're supposed to hold your laptop up to your head first before you rip it open. Johnny Carson.
Yeah, let me,
Little Bo Peep, Sylvester Stallone, and a buffet.
Okay. Let me rip this open. And
three things. Ooh.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed.
It's mail time. Ba da ba ba da. Ba ba da mail.
Hey, it's hard to think of Karnak the Magnificent bit.
On the fly?
Yeah. On the fly.
Yeah. No way. Yeah. That's so hard.
Really, like, you cast a wide net there, too. So,
in 2 seconds, come up with three things and then
relate them.
Make sure they all connect in a very funny, surprising way. Here's an email we have from Tim. Tim says, Heaven Detective. That's the subject line. Heaven Detective. Tad Williams has written two Bobby Dollar novels. That's a fucking phenomenal name.
That's a great name.
Ted Williams has written two Bobby Dollar novels, which are modern detective noir featuring an angel and involving suggestions that there is corruption in heaven, though most of the action doesn't take place there.
Okay.
And then there's a link to the books.
Oh. All right.
So after he retired from playing baseball and with that perfect batting average, he started writing heaven novel books?
Yes. Tad Williams of the Red Sox. Of the Rad Sox.
Of the Rad Sox.
Yeah. Was it Tad Lincoln's son who died?
That's
or did he live?
Right. Well, here's the thing. I think Lincoln had like 13 kids, and I think 9 of them died.
Yikes!
A lot of kids. Back then, I think most kids died.
My uncle's cousin.
That's why you had a lot of them. Wait, what about your uncle's cousin?
No, it's the wrong play. Cousin.
Yeah, my uncle's cousin is also your cousin. Is the best part about that?
That is true. Yeah,
it could just be called my cousin. What if it was called my uncle's cousin Vinny? Speaking of Southern courtrooms.
Mr. Lincoln, the play is about to begin.
I'm the landlord here.
I love Joe Pesci.
What's a ute?
Mary, please, shut up the play. Oh, boy.
Squad, 7 years ago, the show should have started.
If only Abraham Lincoln was shot during a screening of My Cousin Vinny.
Sounds like our intellectual property is safe, though, because this is still, corruption in heaven, it's mentioned, but we can still set ours in heaven.
Yes.
Little earth, maybe a little earth, not a lot, mostly heaven.
Yeah, and just for any Tolkien heads, we didn't say middle earth, we said very little earth.
Yeah,
so we're not.
Yes.
Put away your staffs, Tolkien heads.
I do, Rob. I mean, you read the second Forrest Gump. You read the Forrest Gump sequel. Maybe you have time to squeeze in some Bobby Dollar novels?
I'm going to have to check the length on that before I commit. And if it's on audiobook, I'll do it. I will do a Bobby Dollar.
Yeah.
We'll start a Patreon, and it's Rob reading a book out loud and then Brett and I just reacting in real time.
And the Patreon would just be like a flat $7.99 whoever pays it just to cover the audiobook. We're not looking at
honestly, I think it would just be funny. I think the Patreon should just be you listening to the audiobook out loud. Yeah. And then we just hear you react every once in a while. You're like, huh.
And we have to guess, like, well, what do you think was funny? And every episode's 22 hours.
So, like, Mystery Science Theater, but a book? Like, an audio book?
Oh, Mystery Science Theater, but in your head, yeah.
Yeah.
But in a book.
Looks like I have another email here. Okay. This is from Mike Spartz. Mike Spartz says, good day. Good day to you, Mike Spartz. In ninth grade, I took a vocab class and discovered a word I had never encountered before that stuck with me. The word is ennui. E-N-N-U-I, ennui.
Mm.
It is basically feeling, it's a French word that I know from, if you've ever read any Edward Gorey books, that's one of the...
I'm mainly a dollar fan.
Yeah.
What's that?
I'm more of a dollar fan.
A Bobby Dollar fan?
Yeah, if I'm reading a book, I'm reading a Bobby Dollar.
It is basically feeling dissatisfied, listless, because you aren't excited for anything. Feel free to say my whole name, Mike Spartz.
All right.
So my word today. Oh, go ahead, Rob.
No, go. You'll say the word out loud, I guess. I was diving in. Excuse me.
Rob, go ahead in your filthiest French accent.
Well, I was just going to say that makes me think of Henri the Fifth. Sorry. Not worth it.
I'm on with the fifth am. On with the fifth am.
Wait, can I just confirm something? Is the word we're using ennui, or are you saying a different word?
It is.
Oui,
oui, oui, oui. It is ennui.
How did they always say it was spelled again?
E-N-N-U-I.
E-N-N-U-I. Well, they didn't say how that it was spelled that way. It is spelled that way. Ennui.
So can you say the definition one more time?
Absolutely.
Because I got that Henry V thing in my head and I just kind of zoned out.
We've all been there. It's basically feeling dissatisfied or listless because you aren't excited for anything. So I'll say, this is Adol speaking, not the email. When I read the Edward Gorey children's book, I forget the name of it, but it's basically there's a letter of the alphabet for each person. So it's like Albert is articulate, and it's a drawing of a little kid like at a podium or something. That's not the real one. But it gets to like Edward or Edmund. It's like Edmund has ennui, and it's a little kid staring out the window as the rain is falling in front of his building.
Yeah, to me, it's like that's what it is. Or like a sad, you know, French person at like a cafe, like looking longingly. They just have that ennui.
And that's to you, or that's the definition, Brett?
No. That's what I picture in my head. Someone with who has ennui. Like,
and just, Brett, your eyes are a little red, so I have to ask, are you on weed?
No. What are you talking
okay,
about?
Just had to check because you're acting a little suspect.
So it's not really depression. It's something else, right? It's just like kind of not feeling anything, right?
Well, I think it's also when in that song, like, let me take you on a sea cruise. Isn't it like, on we, baby, on we? No.
I'll allow it. It pleases the court. I would say it seems like the English word we might have that's closest would be like maybe apathy. I'm sure there's a better word, but it seems like it's apathy, but apathy a little bit further than apathy.
Sadder.
In terms
it's
of
a sad apathy.
It's sadder.
Like a
sad apathy.
Like a lackadaisical. Like, is it almost like
no?
I don't know. I feel
like lackadaisical seems more like inert or
more like laissez faire. I feel like
a little genocide.
Someone knows two French words.
I do. I reach my limit, and it also reminds me of that song, "Ennui Will Rock You."
Oh no,
Mike Sparks, I'm so sorry. We're just gonna have some fun with this.
You think you give us a foreign language word and we can't English language pun it up? No. I don't know that I've ever felt.
Ennui can.
Obama.
Ennui's a tough. It seems like it's. Is it? It's not quite depression, but it seems close.
Yeah, it seems like this would be. When someone, you know, back in the olden days, this is like the 1600s or something. If someone went off to war and came back, they might have some amount of like PTSD, but that would reveal itself in some amount of
ennui.
I think you meant ennui PTSD. No, ennui TSD. there was something. PTSD. It's there. There's something in there.
It's there. It's
there.
Oh, yeah. So I have to, ennui PS, the new video game is awful. It is, you walk around and you're just kind of like doodling in a notepad and it is awful.
It's not fun.
Yeah, but I think
it's like staring out of a window when it's raining.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. Yeah.
Is my mic on?
Yeah, that is what you said. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I guess if I had to boil it down to one thing, I guess ennui's probably... It's raining and you're staring. Does that make sense?
But there's a window involved.
There's a picture of a window. There's probably, also a pane of glass between you and the outside.
You're a pane in my glass.
Oh, you're.
I know some people. I don't want to name any names, but probably someone in my family.
Patrick Ewing.
Is that Patrick Ewing? But with Ewing, I think that's I think that's a square peg in a round hole, buddy. I think Ewing Mason would have been a better Knicks
poll. Yeah, maybe true.
Patrick Ewing. Jesus Christ.
Ewing. Patrick Ewing.
This is the beginning of the end of this podcast. I feel like I know more and more people who suffer from seasonal depression, which I didn't realize was a thing until I was 32, 33 or something. Because I just never heard about it. Nobody I knew at the time was speaking about it or anything. And then people were like, it'd come to be wintertime in Chicago or whatever it was. And I'd reach out to someone and be like, you want to go grab this or do this? And they'd be like, oh, my seasonal depression is pretty bad. And I'm like, are they just making something up to like not hang out? And then I looked it up. And I'm like, oh, shit, this seems like a pretty rough, severe situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Chicago gets fucking freezing. It's dark at 3:30. Like it. Yeah. A lot of people like a lot of people I know, like in Chicago, like they go to work early and then they work a little bit later. So there's some people that never see like daylight.
Yeah.
For like January, February, which that would, I mean, because you need that vitamin D when you go outside. So that's got to be, it is kind of fucked up that happens.
Absolutely. And when I eat at a Polish restaurant, I usually get seasoning depression. Polish food, the blandest of food.
I think the Irish might have a case, but.
That's fair. Okay.
I don't think boil is a seasoning. They use it.
I will, just a quick Irish thing. I remember I was in IO classes with a guy. We went to this condo. He lived with his parents, and there was something on the stove, and I was like, oh, what's that? And I like opened it up, and they were making corned beef and cabbage, which I've never seen being made before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, is this like a stock? Is this like going to be a soup? And he was like, no, it's corned beef and cabbage. Like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, you just boil it, and then you eat it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. And he's like, please leave my home.
You've never been with a group of people that says like, hey, let's go out for some great Irish food.
Yes.
And not really a thing.
Now, Brett, are you 100% Irish?
I can't be because I'm American, but.
American's not an ethnicity.
I lean heavy. I lean heavy.
Okay.
That's a quarter Irish.
Honestly,
too,
someone say I on ween heavy.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. At some point, we have to move on. Then we haven't reached that point yet.
No, everything's fair game. No.
Yeah, I don't know.
When I was there, I will say, when I was in Ireland, which I did go to, the fish and chips were fantastic. Mm. And they ate a lot of those. And that was really good. Other than that, like there were people like, oh, go here. It's like a traditional Irish. We were like, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
So we went to some finer restaurants there that were very good. But yeah.
Sure.
I'd say they're definitely doing the fish and chips.
I dare say that's British influence. Well, English influence, if I may correct myself.
But yes. They do it there. Yes. And it is very good. Yes. It is very good.
The butter, the milk, very, very good in Ireland.
Yes.
Oh, Kerrygold.
Yeah.
Kerrygold.
Big time.
There are also the Guinness, as dumb as it sounds, the Guinness Brewery had some really good, some good food. And there's a Guinness Brewery that just opened in Chicago, I think.
Yeah.
It's like right the only other one in the world, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's in the insane. West Loop.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Ireland, I was there. I could also see why you could have seasonal depression living there, because I felt like there was no sun and it rained and it was windy every single day.
Yeah, the one thing about, like, I don't think I have seasonal depression, but there is, with all these gray days, there will be a day when I'm just in a really good mood, and I have, like, I feel like I have extra energy, and it takes me, like, half of the day to realize it's because the sun is out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, it's just because there's sunshine. That's all. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that is seasonal depression. I just don't, maybe I'm undiagnosed.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. It does.
Then, you know, but then the problem is then you're like, well, all right, it's nighttime. And then you crack open a beer and then you're like, oh, it's 10 in the morning.
What now?
What's this? What are you doing?
I'm just saying, like, I mean, I can get, you know.
How long does it take you to drink a beer?
I mean, all day. All day. Depending on my mood. I mean, depending on how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
What's
one can lead to the other.
what's the last time you guys were like, not upset to the point of like, you know, like a family member passed away, you know, nothing not like, serious.
Yeah.
Is there a time recently that you have, you know, like if your team, you're rooting for your team in the big game and they lost or anything like that, what's the sort of most upset you've been where it wasn't severe recently?
Oh, very recently for me was the FC Cincinnati soccer team that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing in the semifinal game to make it to the championship, and we were winning 2-0 at halftime, which in soccer, that's a large lead.
And FC, I assume, stands for football club?
Football club, yep. Okay. And and then we lost that lead in the second half and ended up losing 3-2, and they scored a goal in like the 15th minute of stoppage time. So like it was almost at penalty shots, and then they scored, and I was... That was like a devastated anger that only lasted like 24 hours, but like, oh man, having the thing of like, we're going to win, we're up 2-0, like that's huge in soccer, to all of a sudden it just flips. I was very disappointed. There would have been glass and rain, I would have punched the glass, felt the rain on my skin.
I don't think you have a choice about the rain.
Yeah.
If there was rain, I would have felt that rain on my skin. I think it's, if you're outside, I think it's...
When your life is off at open, 2 a.m.
I'm trying to think of... I mean, first of all, one of the teams I like would have to get to the big game. But
oh, Rob, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
That is, right? I feel like I've tempered my... I'm still a big sports fan, but I losses don't impact me as much anymore as they used to. Like in 2008, when the Penguins lost to Detroit for the Stanley Cup final, that one I was like very bummed out because it had been a long time.
Yeah,
they were a young team. They made the finals, and it just, you know, they were too young. They were too inexperienced, and that was like pretty bummed when they lost. But in 2009, they ended up beating the Red Wings, who they lost to the year before, and that was pretty exciting.
Hell yeah! I think when we moved into our new place here, which was 2.5-3 years ago, we got a new washer and dryer, and Gemma and I, we each did several loads of laundry, and all of my t-shirts and underwear and some amount of like long johns and various undergarments, everything shrunk.
Time out. What other various undergarments, Adel? Yeah.
Was it your unwe wear? Did your unwe wear?
I'm talking socks. I'm talking A shirts, I think they're now called, because the previous name was unsavory.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just talking, my lingerie. Okay. Mm-hmm. What else?
I'm not going to question it, but I have no idea what you're talking about. That you can't say, you had to say A shirt?
Yeah,
A-shirts used to be known by another name, which, Brett, I think you do know, because everyone used to call it that.
But is an A-shirt a tank top?
Yeah. It's a white tank top that you would wear underneath something.
I didn't know that it had now transitioned down to A-shirt.
Or up to.
Transitioned down to, Brett. Clinging to the past.
I just never heard it called an A-shirt.
Oh,
exactly.
But anyway, what happened with the clothes in the washing machine?
Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, because it was a new washing dryer, we hadn't tinkered fully with the settings or like programmed it to the necessary functions. Everything shrunk.
Oof.
So I remember being like, I wouldn't say close to tears, but I remember being like pretty devastated of like,
yeah,
a lot of t-shirts I have, emotional attachment to. Or just like, it's like, oh, this was expensive, or this is like, I can't get that back because it was whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember just being like really devastated of like, I have to start all over with all of these things.
Oh,
just really exhausting.
I thought you're going to be like, well, got to hit the gym, got to size down to a small.
Yeah, I got to get down to a 26 waist.
Yeah.
I got to be a 26-32 waist.
I'm just saying, you didn't have to give up.
Yeah, you're right.
I know, I guess we're far away from ennui at this point, but that's okay. That's the podcast. Are there any, like, there are clothes that you, like, I have that I don't wear, but I don't want to get rid of.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Yes, I have.
Oh, I have so many.
Absolutely.
I have one specific, I don't know if you still have this one, Adel. Do you still have that shirt that you, that Arnie, you and me bought in New Orleans?
Yes, that was three shirts for $10 or something?
Yes.
That's what it said, right?
Yeah, it was 3 for $10. And then we were going to have an improv form. Do you remember this?
Yes.
We were going to have a show called 3 for $10. We were like, hi, we're 3 for $10. And we'd all be wearing the same t-shirt. And we're like, we're going to perform a show in a t-shirt that we each got like $3 for $10 and then not explain it any further and just do a regular show.
Yes.
But that was going to be the whole 3 for $10.
I literally, a week ago, was talking, this is Arnie Niekamp, by the way. I was talking to Arnie Niekamp, and he said, he's like, we need to do a live show in New Orleans because the one time I was there was when you, me, and him were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I had the absolute best time. It was so incredible, and I haven't been back. And then I started pulling up old pictures where it's like you and Arnie holding these signs that say giant beers.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you
and Arnie bought... Picture.
Yes.
They bought like huge Coors.
It was like 72-ounce Miller Lights or something.
Yeah, I think they filled a Coors Light bank.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah, it's a...
But in Rob's hand, it looks enormous.
Yeah,
and then in
Arnie's, Robin,
in Arnie's paw, it's like, oh, that's kind of a big beer. Brett,
it's a real David and Goliath side by side.
Yeah. Brett, do you have any clothes that you refuse to get rid of? And what
are they? Many.
Yeah.
So many. Sports shirt, just like stuff that like... doesn't fit me anymore, but like I paid a lot of money for it at the time.
Yeah. Devin
so
Hester
like,
jersey.
But I'm also always in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, what? I don't know what you said, but it sounded
Devin
like
Devin Hester
Buster's.
Jersey?
Oh yeah, and David Buster jersey that I won with for like 10,000 tickets.
David Buster, one of the best kickoff returners
of
all time.
All time greats.
Of the best. But I'm always like also in my head, I'm also like, I'm not far away from wearing it. Like
sure.
If I really like, you know, kind of like hunker down and lost like, 20, 25 pounds, like it would fit no problem. So I don't ever get a minute because I'm always like, eventually I'll get motivated and mm-hmm. I'll get back down to what I weighed when I was like my littlest, but I'm not there yet. But I don't want to throw the nice stuff away.
Yeah. Here's what I think this should motivate the three of us. We all try and get down to the exact weight as the tiniest member of the podcast. Now, Rob, I have to assume that's you.
Yeah.
What are you, 125?
Oh, on a good day. No, I'm like 150.
Okay. Now, here's what I'll say. I am going to die. I need to lose, carry the 165 pounds. This is going to be a tough road.
Have you seen, I just saw it the other day on TV, and I know we have to move on to the next word, but I saw a website that is like, you can put up cash to like win money, like losing weight.
Wait, what's this? You put up cash.
I saw it on TV the other day. It was like it was like people were like, I lost 10 pounds and won $500. Because I think you like gamble on the site I know it's insane, but you could put, I think it's something like you can bet like 10 to 1 odds that, and they'll like, and you do a weigh in, like I guess live, so they could see you lost. And if you win that bet, you win money.
Hmm.
Oh, as long as you're betting against yourself, great. But if you're in a pool of like 10 people, there's going to be ringers where it's like Kobayashi.
No.
It'll be like Kobayashi where it's like he ate 500 hot dogs and he's like, oh, I'm 220. And then he just like poops and shits it out. And the next day he's like 165. And you're like, what's going on? Like there's
like
going to be hustlers.
You use poop and shit.
Yeah. Poop and shit. They're two different things. Brett, they're two different things. There's taking a poop and there's taking a shit.
Well, betting on yourself is way better because I also thought you meant like other people could just take a look at a picture and be like, no. And then that person will like check in and be like, oh my God. They're giving me 10 pounds. They're giving me 10 pounds. Like,
then they're like the doing spread. Really well and you're like, you're going to lose and you're like, then you find out where they live and you start door dashing stuff to their house because you're like, I need you to slow down.
Everybody's betting
my
me
money.
Over. This sucks.
you only bet on yourself.
Yeah, that's...
But that is a
that's
thing,
kinda,
too. Which is,
that has some accountability. And if you could win some money, that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
I gotta look into it. I could maybe, you know, really go for it. So, well, maybe this ad break, there'll be information about that. But if not, just wait.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back. Hopefully you had a nice break. Either it was nothing or it was something. We don't know. it's okay. But my word, which if it was, you know, someone trying to sell to you, and you can always save a couple of bucks on something, my word today is coupon.
Yes.
I like the way you said it, first off. That's a big pet peeve of mine. The coupon versus coupon?
Yeah.
Oh, coupon. Coupon no,
is
I would never
too
say
much
that.
Mustard on the ball, baby. It's coupon.
It is coupon, but a lot of people say coupon.
We don't say, I mean, two of us work there. We didn't say Groupon. We said Groupon. Which
that's
has to be.
That's not true.
Oh,
all three of us
also
did work there.
Oh, shit. That's right.
I worked there for 3 weeks.
I totally forgot.
Did you get hired on as a temp and not make it? Or did you get hired on as...
I got hired on as a temp right as you guys were going to IPO status.
Yeah.
So there was a hiring freeze.
Oh.
So basically me and Griggs, we worked for like 3 weeks. And
that's
then
right.
After the 3 weeks, they were like, we're not. Also, it was like right around that time, Adel 2, we're like, it wasn't a fun job anymore. Yes. I remember it was right at the time where like they switched over and like you weren't allowed to give money back anymore. And like you really couldn't give Groupon bucks back. And you had to do a lot more due diligence before you could close the ticket. And yeah, and so that was all at the same time. So like I was under the assumption it was still going to be like simple.
Well,
so
if it makes you feel any better, Brett, the Groupon stock I have today is worthless. So you did not miss out on anything.
There was a time when it was like the best job where it was like, you could do some work. And then they had like an air hockey room.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in a Shetland pony and Neil Young on the same day. Neil Young and a Shetland pony were walking around the Groupon campus. It was like nonstop. They bring in like ice cream and they're like, hey, go ahead. And I'd go up to the third floor, whatever, fourth floor and go talk to Rob for like an hour or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of doing whatever. And then like the week they went public, IPO offering, it was like you went to get up and they'd be like, where are you going? And you're like, I'm going to the bathroom. And they're like, you have to log it in or like you have 2 minutes. And it became like the most military
it was so
awful.
Many businesses are like that. Like it's all fun and games until
that's what happens.
Startups become,
we have shareholders and you have responsibility. You have to like tighten things up and, you know, everything is really looked at. But I will say, if you thought customer service is bad, try cold calling businesses to get them on Groupon. That was
you were in the sales
and I
department.
Got put in. They were expanding, like massive expansion. So the big markets were all staffed. So I got Roanoke, Blacksburg, and Charlottesville, Virginia. And this was in 2011. And I would call. They'd be like, I don't have a website. And I would have to try to get. They're like, internet advertising meant nothing to them. They were like, what is this? No. Or you would have to talk somebody into like creating a Facebook page so that you could run their group.
Gary get up on the smoke plane and they'll spell it out.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's sales.
I mean, I felt like the majority, because this was also too when like it was before companies were like, you can just, I'll scan the QR code on your phone. It was like you had to bring printouts to places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I really feel like at least 7 of my 50 calls a day where I talk someone through installing their printer.
Yeah, it was pretty great. My favorite thing was I would work with someone for like an hour on. They're like, I can't find my Groupon. I would literally, no hyperbole, work with them probably 40 minutes to 50 minutes. And at the end of the 40 to 50 minutes, I would be like, let's zoom out as far as possible. Let's zoom out to a Milky Way galaxy view. Go to the URL bar. What's a URL? Talk them through that. And then I'd be like, tell me what it says. And they'd be like, it's Groupon. I go, tell me what it says. And they go, www.livingsocial.com. And at the time, Living Social was a huge competitor.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're around anymore.
No,
I don't know if Groupon.
No, no, no.
I don't know if Groupon's
Groupon
around
actually,
anymore.
Groupon actually bought them, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it would be, and I would go, we are not Living Social, and be like, well, that's part of you. And it's like, no. And I'd have to argue with them that we were different companies. It was, it gave me ennui. I mean, I would go home.
I'd be on the
L train, the rain pouring. There's also very quickly, the funniest thing that I remember was at some point there was a voicemail sent in that we had like recording, like computer recordings of all the voicemails. And this went around company wide. Like I think every single employee in the company got to hear it. And it was someone left a voicemail that was like right when Google, I think, offered to buy Groupon for $1 billion.
$5 billion, I believe.
$5 billion. Yeah. Holy shit. So they offered to buy for $5 billion. The guy who created Groupon, I forget his name, turned it down.
Andrew Mason.
Andrew Mason, thank you. A former Knicks player. So he turned it down, and then the next day it was public. It was like big news, and somebody called in, and they go, "You should have taken the money, Groupon. You're slipping." And they just kept saying in a whisper voice, "Groupon, you're slipping." And it was like a 15-minute voicemail, and we would all listen to that and just cry laughing.
Oh, that's great. Do you guys not to shift away from those days?
Please.
Are you coupon people? Because I the only time oil change, I'll look for one. But other than that, you're holding up a coupon.
Well, I tell you this, Kroger, who owns Mariano's for you guys in Chicagoland, Kroger is huge in Cincinnati. So if you, and I like this approach, if you use your Kroger card every single time you go to the store, not only do you get gas points, which is great, you can take money off your gas, but it like tracks you, obviously. And then like once a month, I'll get coupons, but I'll get exact coupons for the things I buy every single time.
That's pretty cool.
I'll get like, they'll send me like a pallet of free water, or like I get 80% off, 80 cents off like blueberries or something like that. So like once a month I'll get like discounts on the stuff I buy.
Targeted to you?
Every time. But I don't, yes, I don't seek out coupons.
No, I'm not a collector. Oh, I guess I'm lying, because I will also, if I'm online shopping, I will Google the store name and a coupon code.
Promo code. I will do that. Yes,
I will always try
promo
to do that to see if I can.
Yes, I will always try to find
that. You guys want to know a secret? Just put in military 20.
Oh, really?
Works every time.
Oh, that's stolen valor, man.
I don't know if that's true. Not only do I not use coupons, I have coupons. Not only do I not use coupons, I have 8 to 10 unused gift cards, like $50, $50 to $100
gift cards.
$1,500.
I'm really terrible with gift cards, too.
Yeah.
I'm great with them.
No.
I'm great with them. Can I tell you a hack?
Sure.
Take a photo, scratch the gift card, and take a photo of it and put it in your notes. And that way, if you, sometimes when you go to the place, they'll just, you don't have to have the gift card with you. They'll just take the screenshot.
Manually enter it. Pretty good. Not as good as my military 20. But.
Have I never tried it? And did I just make that up? 100%. But I felt like you guys were in, like you believed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it was a bigger thing. I remember being a kid and my mom sitting at the kitchen table clipping coupons.
Like, absolutely. You
know, yeah. With a pair of scissors, like just going through it, and then making a little pile or putting them on the fridge with a magnet. And then it would be like every time we went to the grocery store, she'd grab them, keep them in an envelope, and then sort through them at the counter. I don't know if I go, when I go shopping at wherever, I don't know if I ever see anybody pull out a coupon anymore.
No. Because there are a lot of those cards. But I will, can you imagine, like the supermarket transaction used to take forever with those coupon books.
Yes.
Plus, then you write a check.
Yes.
Yeah.
You had to wait for the, you know, write the whole check, driver's license out. They do all of that. You had to like wait. Or the credit card, the that like carbon copy credit card thing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Very satisfying.
Yeah. Very satisfying.
Or they'd have like stamps, like they'd give some places, at least when I lived in Ohio, some places have like loyalty stamps.
Yes.
Where it'd be like you get 10 stamps and they count them out.
You fill
out
your stamp book, you're like your sticker book.
Yeah.
And now we can pay with our palm. What a world.
Yeah. And I can buy Honeycrisp apples, but weigh them as bananas. You know, you can just do what you want at the checkout.
Yeah. Now I just go into one of those Amazon stores and walk out carrying everything. And I'm just like, I hope they got it.
Here's probably an unpopular thing that I do. And I don't know if you guys do this, but when you go to a grocery store, let's just say Trader Joe's. If you go, do you bag your stuff?
No, unless there's no bagger. If there's no bagger, I will start it. But if there is a bagger or something like that, I won't touch it.
Oh, yeah. If there's a bag, I'm talking no bagger.
I will start.
I will start
typically
to do it
stop
because
me
it makes. Yeah, I'll just start to do it because the people, I just know it'll be longer of a transaction if I don't do it.
Oh, see, I like to let the pros handle it.
The pros. It's a union job.
You might be shopping where there's pros. Where I go, there are only cons.
Oh, ex-cons.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Just a word I use. So I just start the process because it takes a long time.
Ex-cons.
Also, there's a couple of people I've went to a couple times that put each. We don't have a bag tax here in Ohio.
Oh,
so there was one
nuts.
Time where I pushed the card out. I'm like, God, I felt like I didn't buy this much. The person had put each item in its own bag separately. And I was like, holy moly.
That's an absolute waste. The last time I went to Trader Joe's was right after New Year's. And the person, it was a younger lady was working the checkout. And she was like nonstop talking. She talked, holding up something and be like, these are delicious. Mm-hmm. Have you tried these with our chili crisp, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'll have to another time. And she kept talking. And then she was like, what'd you do for New Year's? And I was like, oh, you know, I went to a friend's and da-da-da-da-da. And then I was just kind of sitting there. I was like, I don't want to talk, but at the same time, I don't want to be rude. So I go, what did you do for New Year's? And she kept scanning everything and didn't say anything. So a little bit louder, I go, what did you do for New Year's? And she kind of went, and I kind of sat there and I'm like, I don't, it seems like she heard me. I've said it twice. And then I go, did you get up to anything for New Year's? And she goes, sorry, I didn't want to talk about it. My dad got real drunk. And I go,
oh my God.
I go, you can't do that. You can't fucking ask
you
me.
You can't.
And then when I reciprocate, suddenly I'm like the.
You also could have just said nothing much.
Yeah. What sociopath is like, I'm bound to tell the truth. I have been lassoed by what. It's just like, just say good, or just say like, it was okay, or like, didn't get up to much.
Yeah.
But to be like, I had to take care of my dad because he got real drunk. I'm like, I don't want that. Nobody wants that.
You don't need to put that on me. Yeah, don't put that on me.
It was awful.
We don't have Trader Joe's in Ohio, sadly. Yeah. We have Wall Street Gyms and
Wall Street Gyms.
It's just not as good as the store.
He's doing some.
Just not as good as the store.
That is the equivalent of being like, so, big plans this weekend? You're like, well, yeah, I'm going to do this, this, and this. How about you? Putting my dog down.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
You know, like, why? You don't have to. Like, if you've got something bad, don't.
Oreo, you're dumb. You're idiot. You're idiot dog. Sorry, I just had to put my dog down.
Oh,
idiot.
No. Oreo.
Dumb dog. This dog got a dumb dick. Dumb dick on a dog. No. Oreo, dumb.
Dude, do you think of the dogs named Oreo? They put him down by just putting him in milk and just letting him sit.
Great. Now I'm hungry, Brett.
Or you could take him to a taxidermist twice and have a double stuff.
Oh, no.
Well, he died at 65, but I want him to weigh 130. Oh, we'll double stuff your dog.
Yeah, we got some shirts he needs to fit into.
Sad, but this rules. This is very good. Very, very good.
Rob, that seems like a great segue onto your word.
All right. My word is typically enjoyed the next day. My word is leftover.
Mm. Oh, yes. Here's what I'll say. Not only did I just had some sausage and peppers left over from a gathering I had last night that Rob was at. Did you have any of the sausage and peppers?
Was that made by monster of the show, Pat?
Yes, former guest of the show, Patrick. Mm-hmm. He made the sausage and peppers, and it's absolutely delicious. So not only did I have some leftovers today, but Rob, I think you and I share this affinity. The leftovers, I would say, is one of the best TV shows of the last 20 years.
Yes. I loved it. It was so good. And not the typical show that I like that kind of stuff normally, doesn't it? But it was just so good.
Yeah.
It was the writing, the acting, it was great.
Was that a show though that they thought they were going to have another season and then they yanked them, so there was not really any closure?
No,
I feel like they got three seasons and it wrapped up very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well, yeah.
What's the guy's name? Who's the
Justin Theroux.
He was married
Justin
to
Theroux?
He was briefly married to Julia Aniston. Julia, wait.
Yes.
What's her name?
To Julia Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Louise Dreyfus.
From My Best Friend's Wedding, Runaway Bride, Pretty Woman, Julia Aniston.
I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember her last name for the life. I don't know why.
No, you got her last name. It was her first name you couldn't get. It was Jennifer Aniston.
Rob, I never realized until just now how closely the Friends song sounds like the Jackass opening.
what a great mashup.
I'm gonna jump into this fountain while on a break.
I don't do leftovers. I don't think I
That's a shirt.
There's really nothing besides a dessert. You know, if you get a pie, you know, pie lasts. I just, for some reason, for me, hot food getting cold and then me reheating it. Just the flavor and the texture changes. I don't enjoy it.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not a big, I don't really care for leftovers either. I try to make just enough to eat
or
what I eat. And like, I've never taken a doggy bag from a restaurant.
No.
Ever.
No.
Yeah.
I'll do it sometimes because I'll feel bad It's only an anxiety thing of I'll get something and maybe I didn't like it, or like we, you know, sometimes we'll get like three pasta dishes and like we don't eat one and everything. And I'll always say like, do you want to bag it up? And I'm always like, I can say no. Like it doesn't matter to them, but I feel guilty that there's too much there. Mm-hmm. So either I'll say yes. And when I get it, then the two things I'll either do is if I see someone who's living on the street, I'll give it to them. But if I don't see one of those people between there and my home destination, then it just goes in the garbage.
Hmm. I am almost the exact opposite. I take everything.
You do? Okay.
Oh, yeah. And that's maybe why I have to lose 65 pounds by the next recording. I feel like if I enjoy it, if I'm not enjoying it. So there are times when I don't need it, or if it's such a small portion where it's like, I don't care. Just toss that.
Yeah.
But if it's like if half or more of my dish is remaining, I'll absolutely take it home. A lot of times I may not eat it, but I at least want to give myself a chance. And I think, Brett, maybe you need to get like a better, we have like a, it's like a combination air fryer, toaster oven, it's whatever else. It, when you reheat pizza or anything, it tastes almost better than when you get it. It is magic.
Mm. I agree that if there's one thing that I will redo, is there one thing, it would only be pizza. And you are correct. Putting it in the air fryer is a million times better than the microwave or anything like that.
But there's a lot of stuff I put in there and it's great.
But similar to Rob, we don't get the large. We get like the small, you know, we get enough that there is no leftovers.
Or even if it's a restaurant with a lot of food, I will just eat all of it.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah, I'm a
plate
cleaner.
You're a hungry hippo.
I'll eat my portion.
I'm a plate cleaner. So I got it's the Kosori, Kosori. I don't know. I've never heard that brand before, but it's an air fryer toaster oven. And I feel like anything I put into this puppy tastes fantastic. Okay. When you reheat it.
Code TWAPOD20 to get a discount on Kosori.
Use code TWAPOD20 to confuse the gift card system.
It's definitely a Canadian brand.
Kosori?
Oh, Kosori.
Kosori.
I'm Kosori. Kosori.
The word itself, though, so it's left over instead of left under or left out. I guess left over makes...
Don't take this down a George Carlin road. Yeah. You can be left over. You can be passed over. You can't be passed under. Okay.
You can
George.
Be left. You can be right. Why do they call it a right over?
Vegetables. Why do we need a table for veg? We don't have veg chairs. Why do we need veg tables?
That's more Seinfeld
George.
Than a Carlin
That's
voice.
True.
But
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a Seinfeld bit.
Vegetables. Yeah. Vegetables.
The other thing that, like, you know how, like, Olive Garden stuff would be like, it's like a dinner, but you get a dinner, but also dinner for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had that, like, special where you just basically
take
taking
one home.
Two.
Yeah.
That's like, ugh, I don't want to eat that the next day.
Well, Mary used to work at Maggiano's and the one downtown in Chicago, and she said she, like, would get food all the time because a lot of their dishes were, like, buy one, get one.
Oh.
Like, some of their pastas were, like, buy one of these, get one of these. So it would be prepackaged, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she said so many people would just forget that they ordered that. And then you would just take it and just bring it home with you. And then you had yourself a fine meal.
Fine meal. Sorry, Rob. I was mentally preparing myself for a break. Here's my George Carlin. That was closer to Seinfeld. Here's my George Carlin.
Okay.
You see these vegetables? Why do we have vegetables and not veg chairs? Who are these people? Who are these people? That's George Carlin, Sebastian Carliano.
I eat at your restaurant, and at the end of the meal, you want me to do the dishes? I don't think so.
No, nobody says
you
that.
Can keep,
nobody
says that. You can keep the food. Don't give me a job. I didn't come here with it. I don't want to leave with it.
I feel like we passed around a clip the other day that was like, it was him talking about, he's like, who are these people that go to the pool and they get out of the pool and they're toweling themselves off? And it was like, that's what everyone does. What the fuck is your point of view?
What's your angle here? The problem is you watch enough, there's no angles. He literally just describes stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the dream. When we used to do the dream at IO, you would literally just walk out and say the thing that person said.
Yeah.
And it would go great.
He doesn't say funny things. He says things funny.
Yes.
Which is a phrase I learned from John Lovitz.
Oh,
recently.
Yeah. I did listen to that podcast as
Hello.
Well.
Hello. Jealous.
My favorite pronunciation of, I know you were saying vegetables, but have you seen My Blue Heaven? That's not obscure. So no. I would hope you guys have seen that.
Steve Martin, Rick Moranis.
When he's like, do you have any arugula? And the guy's like, arugula? What's that? It's a vegetable.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's my favorite pronunciation.
I did, somewhat recently, I went to Olive Garden, and I had the idea, because I feel like when we were younger, Olive Garden used to be way more, they used to lean into Italian way more.
Yes. Big time.
Where it was like the decor and the wall, and there was like frescoes and all this mm-hmm. stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've really toned it down, at least in the local ones. I think it would be fun if it's like, your waiter comes up, and it's like, some guy, and he's like, hey, my name's Tommy, like, I'm your waiter today, whatever you need, think of Tommy. And then, like, he goes, he gets your order. Hold on, Brett, hold on. He goes and he gets your order and he goes away. And then maybe like 10 minutes later, like an older woman comes. She's, you know, she's an octogenarian and she's dressed all in black and she has the veil and she's sobbing. And she's like, my Tommy. Mm-hmm. And she throws herself on the table and she's like, my Tommy, they took my Tommy. And it's like a whole storyline. It becomes like immersive. It's like Tony and Tina's wedding.
Tony and Tina's Olive Garden.
Yeah, his nanny comes out. You know, his nanny is my noni.
Yeah, and then there's a new waiter, and he's like, my name's Jim. I'm your first waiter. And you're like, we had Tommy. He's like, you didn't have nobody. And you're like, whoa.
I mean, you basically are just described one show of Tony and Tina's wedding. It's
and
he
pulls up his shirt, and he shows a gun. He's like, you didn't have no. And you're like, okay.
You're having the ziti. Well, I didn't. You're having the ziti.
You're having the ziti. Yeah. And this is fine.
Remember, well, I'm sure you guys were all at like Second City at that time when Tony and Tina's wedding was also in Piper's Alley.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Piper's Alley. Yeah. And the bathrooms were like shared. I remember like going to a bathroom one time to a couple of people from Tony and Tina's wedding were in there, but they were like peeing in character. I was like, you guys can drop it. Like, what are you doing?
Wait, what does that mean?
Like they're
how do you pee in character?
They were like talking like they were at the wedding.
Oh no.
They had to. That happened to me, Rob, before. They had to because they use the same restroom that the guests use, so they can't ever it's like a Disney. Like until they take the head off.
Guests.
Let's say until they take the head off. Yeah, well they do an intermission and the characters have to stay in character and go out and still mingle like we're at the wedding.
This is why I would last for 1 second, because if I was peeing and guests was like, hey, some wedding, I'd be like, hey, buddy, give me a couple of minutes here. I'm peeing. I'll be back out there in a second. I need this break.
Let me be human. You should use the stall.
Rob, do you remember what they were saying, either person?
I do. No. Okay. It was more of the, like, oh, my God, these guys
probably
have
like
to do this.
Probably like a hanging. You know, it's probably like a thing where you're supposed to like.
I think they were like talking about the wedding. I don't know if they thought I was a guest there or what. Maybe they did. So maybe they turned it on for me when I was in there, but no, I don't remember.
Well, this is the Word Association. Go check out your local Tony and Tina's wedding. And Brett.
Yes.
I believe you have a playbill for today's episode.
Oh, I do. I open it up here and it looks like, the first act, we had a little ennui. And even though we were brought down, we rose up and we saw the brighter side of tomorrow. And we clipped some coupons. We got some deals. We got some steals. Half off laughs. We use that one. And then, you know what? We actually had too much of the podcast. So actually, I made a little bag for all you guys. Here you go.
Oh, thank
you.
Bag.
You guys can open that up. And you can talk about our words tomorrow if you want.
Oh, perfect. Hey, Rob, I don't half off laughs isn't a good thing, right?
Well,
for a comedy podcast?
Half off laughs. Is it? Because you don't have this. Use the same amount of laughs for half the price. That seems like a good thing.
I guess you're right. Yeah, maybe. Oh, don't forget, everyone, you can email us at twapod@gmail.com. And next episode, I'll be down to 150, and we'll have double the laughs.
Yeah, you gotta come where you gotta. Yeah.
Let's do a Trading Places. What do I have to get up to?
I would love to see you at 205.
Just do the math.
Yeah, get up there, you know.
215.
All right. Looks like I'm having Olive Garden buy one, get one at each meal.
Yeah, hey.
Step down, I'll get dog.
There. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm here, you know. Tommy's always here, you know. Look at the menu. Take your Tommy. And I'll come back around.
Tommy!
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.
Oh, you gotta wear, yeah, you gotta come wear, you gotta, yeah.